Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hey, fellow Ripplers, this is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Welcome you out to another great week and another great episode for you. As a reminder, go ahead and visit our website, www.moneyripples.com. If you would like to take advantage of a free money leak evaluation where you can see if, you know, why you might be losing money every single month or every single year, why you're overpaying taxes, why you're not paying off debt fast enough, or whatever it might be, if you want to find out how to actually take your finances to another level, reach out to me, chris@moneyripples.com. And request that free money leak evaluation to say podcast to the subject. So in any case, I want to talk about today a topic that I think is absolutely essential if you want to change your financial life. Now, I want to ask you here, what's better, to be a saver or to be a steward? What do you think is going to produce the best financial results, being a saver or being a wise steward? So you'll hear me talk about on the show all the time that being a wise steward is the abundant perspective. See, understand that spenders come from a place of scarcity. They blow money. They don't necessarily go through in a very productive manner. Money's always gone. You know, they're always trying to make more and more money, but they're spending more of it too. And they're constantly in a rat race. They're constantly in fear. On the flip side, there's the savers. The savers might be thinking about their money more, but they just constantly are saving. They don't want to spend money. The spending is the last thing they want to do. They feel like every bill is a pain. Even if they become debt-free, they can never be in a good enough place because they can never stop having bills. They can never save enough money. They can never feel safe enough. So as a saver, you're still in scarcity. But as a steward, if you're a wise steward, this is where you take the best of the spender and the saver and you roll it into one person. Because money is meant to be used. It's meant to be spent. But it's meant to be spent wisely in a way that creates increase, that creates growth, that's able to multiply, grow, able to bless people's lives and be able to be used to its fullest measure. That is what a steward does, is how do they try to figure out how to use those resources to the best of their abilities. And so when we're talking about this, like really I want to talk about how to think like a bank. Because banks are the best stewards you'll see out in the world today. Now, granted, there were banks that just a few years ago weren't doing so hot. Many of them were over-leveraged. Many of them had taken unnecessary risks. And as a result, our tax dollars had to pay to bail them out. Obviously, they aren't perfect. But as a whole, banks and other financial institutions are very wise, very good at what they're doing, and they're very profitable. They make good money. And so when I tell people, when I teach people what they do, one of the key things of becoming a steward is you got to also think like the bank. You got to figure out how a bank thinks. So let's start with that. Now imagine, for example, you walk into a bank. Obviously, what does the bank want from you? They want money, right? Well, how often do they want that money? Well, you'll probably answer every single paycheck, right? As often as possible. How long do they want that money in there for? Forever, right? How much do they want you putting in? Do they just want you to put in a dollar or do they want you to put in more? Of course they want you to put in more. They want you to put in as much as possible. And then how long are you supposed to keep it in there? You'll want to keep it in there forever because they'll convince you that taking money out early is a bad thing. You'll get penalized or you'll lose the miracle of compound interest if you take it out early. And then the last one is that they want to take as little risk as possible, therefore wanting you to take all the risk. I always laugh. People say high risk creates high returns. That's how successful investors do it. No, they don't. Successful investors don't take high risk. They take lower risk to get higher returns. Banks are the same way. Banks don't want to just lend money to the people that have the worst credit possible. They want to lend money to people who have the best credit, the best cash flow available, and they might even have some other things backing them up in case tough times happen. They'll have extra money to back up that loan, and then they'll give you money. See, banks want to invest in things that work. And so think about it. They want your money as often as possible. They want to keep it as long as possible, have you put in as much as possible, take as little out as possible when you come back in for it, and then take as little risk as possible. Those are the five basic rules of the bank. As often as possible, as much as possible, for as long as possible, take as little back out as possible, and then the final one, take as little risk as possible. The funny thing is what we're taught to do with our money is exactly that, isn't it? We're taught to stuff money away, don't touch it, don't use it, let it save forever, put in as much as possible because 10% of your income is not enough. The whole $100 a month thing to become a millionaire is a bunch of crap. It was never true in the first place. The market never gave that good of returns. And so there's always these myths that people are buying into and people are still teaching today. There's some financial gurus out there that are teaching people that you could actually retire off of saving $100 a month, which is bull. You can't. There's no way you could save enough and keep up with inflation. And so this is why I'm teaching you to think like the bank. Because if you want to have more money, you got to start acting like the bank. You got to think just like them. You got to start working just like them. So for example, one thing that I think is interesting is that, you know, we want to see what a bank does. Look at what they incentivize you to do. So for example, you walk into a bank, you've got money to put in a savings account. What's going to pay you the most money, a normal savings account or a five-year CD? Well, of course, a five-year CD. And even if you compare it to CDs, six-month CD versus five-year CD, they're going to pay you more for a five-year CD. Why? Well, because they want to keep your money as long as possible, and they'll pay you more for it. This also works, you know, on the flip side, when it comes to loans and debt. See, when it comes to loans and debt, they actually want you to do the opposite. See, they'll incentivize you with interest rates to have higher interest rates if you want to save money. But when it comes to paying off loans, they know that you don't want to pay more interest. They know you want to pay less interest. So if you compare on the flip side, you look at different loans. Say you're going for a mortgage. Which is going to have the lower interest rate? Will it be the 30-year mortgage or the 15-year mortgage? Well, of course, it's going to be the 15-year mortgage. Why is that? Because they know that if they keep your money, or you know, basically if they want to get more of your money back, they want to make sure that you're paying as much principal back to them as possible. They don't want to have that money disappear. They want money to come back. So even if they loan you money, they'll also want that money to come back as quickly as possible, and they'll give you incentive of a lower interest rate to pay back that loan as fast as you can. So why do they want to do this? Well, because they got leverage. They love leveraging money. They take that parable of the talents in the Bible and they put it to the best use. They are actually like the other two stewards or the two servants that went and were rewarded from the master for using their talents and that money wisely. They're able to create increase from it. Well, that's our job as well. Banks, what they do is they take your money. They don't let it sit on a shelf and collect dust. No. They take your money and they say, hey, we're going to see what we can do with this. So they want to see if they can create cash flow right away. And the cool thing is that if you pay them more principal, just like if you pay off a loan a little bit earlier, pay extra to it, well, now that gives them permission to have more money to go and lend out. But here's the other cool thing. Across the United States, the banks are actually legally able to loan you 10 times the amount of money that you give them. So if you put $10,000 into a savings account, they can loan out $100,000. If you pay an extra $10,000 onto a loan, they can also loan out $100,000 and start creating interest and acceleration instead of accumulation. That is a key thing here. Everybody's teaching you from a saver mentality to accumulate money. Accumulation will guarantee that you'll probably not get any kind of real financial freedom. Financial freedom comes from acceleration. How do we create more with less right now? So banks are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to create more with less, trying to create leverage, and they want to lend money to you, but they only want to lend money to the people that they believe that where the money will come back, that they'll get paid back. So if we're looking from a bank's perspective, what do banks invest in? Well, banks invest in people, right? They love to loan you money. What do they loan you money for? You might know loans where you've had for car vehicles, right? Also homes. You've been loaned money sometimes for business ideas. Notice that businesses can get loans much easier. Let's say, for example, if you want to put money in the stock market, the banks will say no. Now, sometimes you can get a margin trading account, but that just means that you can trade dollar for dollar. And, you know, even then, they can call it due and you have no money left. So that's not a real true leverage. But they aren't willing to loan money for businesses, real estate, you know, for, you know, automobiles, whatever it might be, equipment, things like that, that they believe can actually create a return that could be productive types of assets. Interesting, though, is that when you have an IRA or a 401k, you can't say, hey, can I borrow money to put into these vehicles? They'll say no. In fact, there's a lot of times when you buy a mutual fund, they actually have you sign waivers saying, hey, I am not, you know, going to borrow money to put into these type of accounts. That's what banks will not do. Banks will not put money into mutual funds, stocks, bonds, options, nothing like that. Think about that. If a bank who is willing to lend money for all kinds of things is not willing to lend money when it comes to stocks and bonds and mutual funds, well, why should you be why should you be trying to invest your money into those things too? If you start thinking like a bank, you'll avoid putting your money in the stock market. If anything, you'll do what the bank does, which is they actually just like to take their guaranteed fees each and every year, right? They like to take the fees of the total amounts in those accounts. But that's it. There's no incentive for you to do anything. You know, they have all the incentive, but you don't. So if they're not willing to lend money to put into those kind of vehicles, why would you be willing to put your money in there too? They don't like bad investments. Well, why is every middle-class American told to do those bad investments, right? Now, I'm not saying you should go just throw money, you know, borrow money to throw into a business or put throw into real estate, but I'm teaching this because I want you to learn from my experience and also from the experience of others and learn from the bank that they deal with money not just differently, but the exact opposite of what you've always been taught and trained. They're actually the very things that many people will say is too risky are the very things that banks do. Heck, even getting a credit card, you would think that'd be a pretty risky thing, and it can be for them. But they still do it because they try to manage their risk and keep bigger control. So there's a number of ways that you can act like the bank. There's a number of things you can do. The thing is, you got to start thinking like this. You got to start thinking acceleration, not accumulation. Hey, if you'd like to figure out how to make that work, like I said earlier, email me, chris@moneyripples.com, and say, hey, Chris, what are ways that I can actually start putting my money and my things to use here? Hey, great question. It depends. It's different for every person. But the thing is, if you understand the basic principles, then the strategies are much easier to teach and to follow later on too. Anyways, everybody, thanks for joining me this week. Have it make it another great and prosperous week. And join us again as we come back, have some great value, great information, and great stuff that you can take and apply to your life each and every day. Make it a great day, everyone. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.